Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Welcome to Freaky Fridays, part of the Podmoth Network, the podcast where we talk about all kinds of scary, spooky, freaky shit while drinking wine or dirty martinis or even Prosecco and laughing through our fears. We are your hosts. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Michelle. And tonight, or today, I'm going to tell you about the chilling haunted history of the Ropes Mansion in Salem, Massachusetts.
Ooh, gee, I wonder why you picked Salem.
Welcome to Freaky
Fridays. Yeah, and we'll get to that. But first, did you know our last episode was September 23rd?
Wow.
Yeah. We took a fall siesta hiatus. Yes.
Well, you know, as we've said
before, we like
before,
to do them unplanned. We like to just surprise everybody. Hey, guess what? We're not coming back for a while.
Yeah. But also, fucking life happens.
Fucking life every time. Cutting into our podcasting. Not liking it. Do not just recommend. 0 out of 10.
I feel like just when I get my shit together and I'm like back on track with life, something happens.
Yeah. They're like, haha, hold my beer. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it doesn't even necessarily have to happen to me, but I've got a gaggle of kids and a husband and a big family. So it's like, right. Shit happens.
And you got a promotion.
I did.
At work. Did. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I'm as I've told you, I am excited. I'm extremely nervous because I am coming way out of my comfort zone after doing my job that I've been doing for 18 years.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's like boomer level years at an employer.
Right?
I'm impressed.
Change scares me, and I know it's good, but change scares me. And also with anxiety, it fucking freaks me out. Like,
right.
Makes me nervous. So I know it's going to be okay. I have to do it. I'm proud of myself for putting myself out there.
Absolutely.
And for the support I've had from family and friends and just, you know, saying you can do it and all the encouragement. So yeah. Thank you.
And everyone. Even if you didn't get it, you got yourself out of that comfort zone and you applied for it and you interviewed.
Yeah.
And they thought, just like we did, that you were perfect for the position. So congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. Thank you. I may be singing a different tune in a couple weeks when we record, and I'm like, I fucking hate this. Why did I do this to myself?
Who does that sound like?
I may be drinking even more. I don't know.
You know what? Work to live, not live to work. So
yes,
temper everybody's expectations.
Yep.
Or like the Indian guy on Instagram says, fuck your job.
Do only what you're paid for.
Only do what you're paid for.
And if you've had a bad day, fuck it. Go home.
Fuck it. Go home. Go to bed. It's not going to get any better.
And don't worry about your past mistakes. You're going to make more. So fuck it. I think I'm going to tattoo that on myself.
That guy.
Fuck it.
We should make unmotivational posters with those quotes to sell on our humble brag, mimiapparel.com.
I think we should do some t-shirts on our.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. So keep an eye out for that, people, coming up. Before we get into Salem, our trip, and the Ropes Mansion, I wanted to call out from our previous episode, the Crescent Hotel in Arkansas. We found out that one of our Pod Moth sister podcasts called Cruel Tea, T-E-A, they both, Lillian and Willow, both worked. They were guides at the Crescent Hotel.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
So we need to get them, do a cross pod.
Yeah.
Talk about their experiences. They said they both had weird experiences there. So we're going to need to do a little follow up with them. And at the same time, after that episode, we got a message on Instagram from T.S. Hathaway that said, hi, love the podcast. I am just listening to the episode from September 23rd. Arkansas is pronounced the way it is because of the French. It was a French territory, so French pronunciation, whereas Kansas is the English pronunciation because it was their territory.
Is that something we learned in school?
No, absolutely not. Okay. Nobody teaches us.
Because I wouldn't have paid attention.
Useful thing. No, yeah, even if they taught it, I don't know. I don't remember. But I looked it up and it says it in a different way, but I like the way that T.S. Hathaway told us. Depending on the territory, that's the way why it was pronounced that way. So now we know it's not just the English language being fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
There's an actual reason.
French territory. And thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks, T.S. Hathaway. I mean, you seem to know your shit.
Yeah, I know.
And yes,
this is what we rely on. We didn't do any research. We just rely on people to tell us.
Yeah. And also, we went to school so long ago that I don't remember anything I ever learned for various reasons. But
yeah.
I don't know my shit anymore. I just talk. Right? I just talk. And I just say things just come out of my mouth. And they are not always accurate. So thank you, T.S. Hathaway. Maybe we should see if T.S. Hathaway wants to be our factotum checker. Like, like Summer in School of Rock.
Right. Or Steven on my favorite murder. Yeah.
Yeah. We can yell out, T.S. Hathaway.
We can send it to her and she could be like, you guys are wrong on all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Where are you finding this information?
Yeah. That almost might be kind of fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
To just be like, well, guess what? Blah, blah, blah. And then T.S. Hathaway comes in and goes, guess what, dumbass?
Guess
you're fucking wrong.
Yeah. But I said it with conviction. I know I'm right.
Well, that's cool.
All right. Well, next. In October, the best month of the year,
took. Hands down. Recommended. A week. 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. Go visit Salem, Massachusetts.
Oh, that was glorious.
For spooky season. It was, I love that you guys or whoever chose kind of that middle of the week because it wasn't too busy,
mm-hmm.
which I was dreading and ready for, but it wasn't too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So we went, we got in late Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, left Friday. Great time in Salem. Just walking around for 2 days was
it just
super
felt
fun.
Like actual fall.
Mm-hmm.
It's gorgeous
there.
The
leaves change.
It was like crisp air.
Yeah.
It just smelled clean. I don't know. There's just so many things about it where it made me happy being there. Like my overall mood just felt good being there. I felt at home there.
I will not plug our hotel.
Absolutely.
Because
not.
The beds were horrible.
Also, there was a ceiling fan that wanted to kill us.
And tried to even.
When we confronted the front desk woman about it, she sort of laughed and said, well, just turn it on low.
Yeah, you're supposed to turn it on low, not high.
That's not
a
good
answer.
Oh, is that
the solution?
Because that thing was literally dangling by floss.
Right.
And could have fallen
rocking
on
back
us.
And forth like a boat in the ocean.
We didn't have to turn it on for it to hurt us. That thing was literally hanging on by a thread. And she literally laughed at us and said, well, put it on low.
I feared for our life. Beds were absolutely terrible. I've never slept on a bed that bad in my life, especially in a hotel room. Beds are usually better. And when we got there and tried to go to sleep that night, I was like, oh, this isn't going to work.
Yeah. And it's not, I mean, we weren't expecting the Four Seasons or anything, but
we were
staying in a well-known hotel franchise. And
Hilton.
I could literally feel the springs in my mattress. And people, I grew up poor and never felt springs in my mattress. I sure shit don't want it when I'm paying
terrible.
A few hundred dollars a night to stay in a hotel room.
That's right. I know.
But other than that.
Besides that,
it was fantastic.
We've been talking about going there for years.
Oh my God, for so long. Mm-hmm. And I loved to get to share that with not only you, my bester, but also my sister and my brother. I mean, it would have been cool if other siblings were there too, but like just because we're all kind of into the spooky stuff and it was really kind of fun, like sharing a room again and like, you know, just all that stuff. Like it was fun.
Like the good old days.
Yeah.
Poor Nick. Yeah. He had no idea. He said he was going with the Sanderson sisters and he was right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were going to Salem, dude. Like, what did you expect? Yeah.
We prepped him. We said there will be hats. There will be black. There will be shopping.
Yeah.
And there will be drinking. And we did all of that.
It was fantastic. It was everything I wanted it to be. I would definitely stay longer.
Mm-hmm. There's so much to explore that we did the very touristy things.
Mm-hmm.
We went on a night tour for the the hauntings and mm-hmm. history of Salem, which was cool. We went to all the shops. Yeah, we saw the witch house. We saw some of the hocus pocus sites. Mm-hmm. We walked down to the water and had dinner, and we didn't get to see the water. It was night, but it was just like very full with just the touristy stuff. We could have definitely gone back and done more driving around.
And everyone was friendly there. Like everyone that lived there, that was from there, was super friendly.
Absolutely.
Love their accents. I've always loved a good Boston accent.
I know. It's so fun to listen to.
And then on our day that we flew home, our flight wasn't till the evening. So we packed up, left early, went back into Boston, went to Boston Common, walked around there, went mm-hmm. to the Cheers Bar, mm-hmm. Went to their park that's very similar to like Central Park to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had lunch, did that whole thing. And it was just like, it was just gorgeous. The buildings there. Yeah. You know, the foliage, just so, so pretty and crisp out. And it just felt like,
Yeah. We lucked out on the weather, too.
Oh, for sure.
Perfect weather.
Yeah. It was definitely chilly.
It was made for us.
We're Californians, so it's, you know, right. anything below 70 is freaking chilly to us. So, but I loved it. I would definitely go back. I would recommend anyone that is into Halloween or witches or spooky anything going to Salem. Into the village area is definitely worth it.
That will scratch your itch, yes.
Oh, yeah. Great shopping.
It was fun.
Shout out to the Black Craft store.
Very fun.
That was my favorite. I absolutely love my jacket that I got from there.
Yes, so cute.
Cute cropped leather jacket. And the lapel, one side says dead, the other side says inside. And on the back, it says never trust the living.
As you should.
Ode to Beetlejuice, and I love the jacket.
Which Mimi Apparel has t-shirts to go along with that jacket if you need something to go underneath. Just saying.
Like I myself am strange and unusual.
That's right.
Yes. Go to MimiApparel.com.
So, as we mentioned, we were on a night tour of the history and hauntings of Salem. Mm-hmm. And we filled a to-go coffee cup full of Juggernaut wine. And with the distraction of very annoying people around us.
By the way, we are not sponsored by Juggernaut.
No, but we would like love to be. Please. Pretty please. With sugar on top. Juggernaut wine. Delicious. Even out of a paper coffee cup. Mm-hmm. We took that on our little tour. So by the time we hit the Ropes Mansion, none of us really remembered what was being said. So I thought I would cover it here in our podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So,
delight me.
Let's talk about the Ropes Mansion. It's located at 318 Essex Street, which, if you're going to Salem, is the main drag and very cool. Full of cobblestones. Don't wear heels. Mm-mm. Wear comfortable shoes. And it's very close to the Witch House. So, if you go see the Witch House, the Ropes Mansion is just to the left of it. It was built by Samuel Bernard. In later 1720s, he was a merchant who moved to Salem from Deerfield, Massachusetts, and he led a prosperous life in Salem, marrying and remarrying on 4 separate occasions.
Wow.
It was kind of odd. Bernard's first wife, Mary, before they even moved to Salem, she died. Rachel, Bernard's second wife, died in Salem in 1743. Then Bernard married Elizabeth, who died in 1753. And his fourth wife, Catherine, also lived with Bernard in the Ropes Mansion until Bernard died in 1762. Mm. And I guess, I don't know if this is normal in the 1700s for you to marry somebody, they die, marry somebody else, they die. But I would think that this was suspicious.
I agree. I feel like it was the thing to like always be married. You know what I mean? Like if you lost someone.
Especially for women.
But yeah. I do agree. I do find it suspicious. Absolutely.
Yeah, seems that. And maybe Catherine wised up and she's like, I know what you're doing. And she killed him. But
yeah, she was like, I'm going to totally flip the switch on you, fucker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me show you.
Yeah.
Girl power.
Yeah.
In 1768, so this is 6 years after Bernard died, Judge Nathaniel Ropes purchased the house Bernard built from Samuel Bernard's nephew. I'm starting to get a little slurry. I don't feel drunk. I just can't talk. Ropes was a wealthy, though unpopular, attorney and Harvard graduate representing Salem in the colonial legislature. By 1772, Ropes was appointed to the Superior Court of Judicature. Is that a word? Which was the highest court of the colony.
T.S.A. Hathaway, where are you? How do we say this?
Yeah. So, T.S. Hathaway, please correct me if we're wrong.
I said T.S.A.
Who knows?
Maybe.
Kind of the same thing, right? Keeping us in line. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Nathaniel Ropes, judge, was very much on the colonial side, which is the British side. Mm. So being a judge and being appointed to the Superior Court was not normal and very, like, pushed him up the ranks, and it was very fast moving for him. So everybody kind of felt like he was a traitor. Mm. Ropes was a loyalist, as they called him, which had become more unfavorable to Salem Village after tax controversies. Judges had been paid by the elected representatives of the general court, making them partial to colonial interests. So that's a nice way of saying that they were bribed. The British therefore proposed that the crown, the colonials, mm-hmm. provide their salaries directly. Salem's town people were pissed that the British would further impose themselves upon colonial life, and they demanded that judges reject their royal salaries. Ropes agreed to deny the salary, yet still held his loyalist views. Hmm. The people were still pissed and attacked the Ropes mansion in March 1774, throwing mud, sticks, and rocks at the windows. During this mob attack, Ropes had smallpox, terrible timing, and he ended up dying the next day at 47 years of age.
Oh.
This, from the story, is kind of where it takes the turn of, like, was his bad dealings tainting this house?
Mm-hmm.
Because Rope's widow, Priscilla, moved her and their six children to a nearby town of Danvers, but their oldest son, Nathaniel Ropes III, returned to the house with his wife, Sarah, after the war ended and began his merchant business in Salem. So they abandoned the house, except one of their sons came back with his wife. Nathaniel and Sarah Ropes raised three children in the house, Nathaniel Ropes IV. People love naming their kids after themselves. Mm-hmm. Sarah, or who they called Sally, and Abigail. Nathaniel Ropes IV later moved to Cincinnati. He's like, peace out, I'm out of here. I feel like I need little, like, people or like an org chart or something, because it's hard to keep all of this.
The
through.
Red string that attaches to yes. like, everyone. Yeah.
Yes. So Nathaniel Ropes IV moved to Cincinnati, but his sisters, Sally and Abigail, continued living in the mansion until adulthood. Sally ended up
must be nice.
Marrying. Yeah, right? Just don't have to pay for anything, just living in this house. Sally Ropes went on to marry a merchant named Joseph Orne and gave birth to a daughter, Elizabeth. And this was in 1818. Joseph died of tuberculosis that same year at the age of 22.
Wow. God damn, that's young.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this isn't too much. This is probably 30 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But this is when shit, like, starts getting real. In 1839, Abigail, so this is Nathaniel Ropes, the son, his daughter, she was standing too close to the fireplace and her dress caught fire. And she died 3 weeks later from the severe burns she sustained in the accident. A few years later, in 1842, Sally's daughter, Elizabeth, died of tuberculosis at the age of 24.
You made it sound so pretty. Tuberculosis.
Yeah, tuberculosis. So now it's just Sally in this house because her husband died, her sister died, and now her daughter's dead. Sally continued living in the house for many years until her own death in 1876. After her death, her nephew, Nathaniel Ropes V, moved from Cincinnati, Ohio, to live in the mansion. So I think what is missing out of this story is Nathaniel Ropes IV, who moved to Cincinnati, got married, had a kid named Nathaniel Ropes V, and then that nephew moved from Cincinnati to live in the mansion. Then Nathaniel Ropes V died in the house in 1893, less than 20 years later, and he passed the house on to his sisters, Sarah, Mary, and Eliza.
Well, that's nice of them.
In 1894, the sisters moved the house back 30 feet from the street under the supervision of architects and had central heating, plumbing, and electricity installed. During the renovations, a fire broke out in the house and heavily damaged it. It is not known who caused the fire, but it was believed to be intentionally set, possibly by a disgruntled employee. Or was it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun. The house stayed in the Ropes family until the last Ropes sister, Eliza, died in 1907, and the house was left to the trustees of the Ropes Memorial with a plan to establish a free botany school there as a memorial to the Ropes family. I don't know if I would have heard that. Let's go through this. Nathaniel Ropes, the judge, died in the house. Mm-hmm. Then Sally's daughter dies in the house. Her husband, Joseph, dies in the house. Not in that order. Abigail dies in the house.
Too much death in there.
Nathaniel Ropes the fifth dies in the house.
They should have just demolished it.
Right. It doesn't say how Sarah and Mary die, but then Eliza dies in 1907. So say six people dying in the house at this point is too many.
The resale value's got to be really low on something like that.
But it's next to the witch house, so maybe it's getting...
true.
And it's beautiful being there in person. Beautiful outside, beautiful garden.
Yes. So
keep it going. Okay, mm-hmm. Now I lost my place. Okay. So the house stayed in the Rosen until she died. Botany school, blah, blah, blah.
On What's August botany 18th, school?
You know, it's funny you ask that because I'm like, I'm going to look it up because I think it is...
like a botanist?
Like plants.
Yeah, like a botanist.
Study of plants, yes.
They actually had school for that?
Apparently. But mm-hmm. I had to look it up because I wasn't quite sure I remembered what botany was correctly. So after, let's see, on August 18th, 2009, a fire broke out believed to have been caused by a painter's heat gun that was being used to remove old paint from the house's exterior. Or was it?
Dun, dun, dun.
Although, although the painters quickly
Murder?
Put out the fire.
Murder.
Although the painters quickly put out the fire with a fire extinguisher, the fire spread inside the walls and destroyed much of the third floor and attic, also causing water and smoke damage to the first and second floors. Like, you can't touch this house. I don't know if it's mm-hmm. the house or it's the people dying in it.
I think it's cursed.
It's very cursed.
Very cursed.
Very. If there's level of cursedness, it's very. Superstition says that the Ropes Mansion is unquestionably haunted. Visitors to the Ropes Mansion claim that they can hear the sounds of Abigail's agonized screams. She's the one whose petticoat caught on fire. Some say they can see her ghost. Others say that Nathaniel Ropes haunts the house alongside her. Rick and Georgette Stafford, former caretakers of the mansion, claim to have caught the ghost of Nathaniel Ropes on film. The image was taken during an insurance appraisal and reveals two hands of a man seated on a couch. Robert Cahill published the photo in Ghostly Haunts, writing that here the judge sits for a spell on the front hall couch. After all, if you were wandering around this mansion for over 200 years, you'd sit for a while, wouldn't you? I could not find this picture online.
Hmm.
So I feel like there's a picture, it should be posted online.
I mean, everything's online.
Right. And if it's online, it's true.
Absolutely.
Are you into true crime?
Do you like unsolved mysteries?
Strange and forgotten history?
Bizarre alien abductions and classified science experiments? Then check out Cruelty Podcast.
We're your hosts, Willow Ahava, along with my best friend and next door neighbor,
Lillian Asterius, and my husband, Meriwether Asterius. Maris, say hi.
Hello.
Maris, short for Meriwether, and I host Maris Mondays as a bonus episode each week to start your Monday with something strange and unusual.
While the rest of the week, Lillian and I present a true crime case under a monthly theme and feature known and not so known cases. We've done everything from Vampire Month to honeymoon murders to cannibal killers.
Cruelty Podcast is an independent podcast made possible by our Patreon members. If you would like ad-free listening plus additional episodes and perks, find Cruelty Podcast at patreon.com/cruelty.
Whoa, that's four whole episodes a week.
Linktree/cruelty has links to all our social media accounts as well as our Discord channel. Cruelty Podcast is a member of the Podmoth Network.
There are accounts that the mansion's garden is also haunted. Visitors claim to feel the icy touch of an unseen spirit or hear whispers of a disembodied voice. Is this Abigail Ropes? Or perhaps the garden's longtime keeper, Andy Bai, who tended to the garden at the Ropes Mansion from 1931 till his death in 1994. I did the math. That is 63 years on the job tending a garden.
I did the math.
I used my calculator.
63 years tending to a garden. What a wonderful job.
I can't stay at a job for 2 years, so I don't know how you do that.
But in a garden, like...
It seems nice. It seems very...
He must have just been so grounded and so zen and right? just... in a garden, like,
so I don't think it was him. I don't think that he would... he'd be touching people yeah. out there. But yeah, it sounds quite pleasant.
Mm-hmm. A lovely
You
job.
Might also recognize the Ropes Mansion from the Disney film Hocus Pocus. Mm-hmm. That's where Allison's family had the Halloween party.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the trustees.
Let's be factual about this. That house, the outside of the house.
Sorry, yes.
Is what they You're used right. Visually for the aesthetic mm-hmm. in the movie. The inside right. of the party was filmed, I think he said, on a sound lot or something like that.
Right.
Stunning house. And this time of year, they have little candles in each. I'm hoping they're fake candles.
After this story?
No more fires needed. But it was all lit up. And I don't know about you, but it gave me so much joy to take a picture in front of it just because it's Hocus Pocus.
I know. Like, is that bad? Yeah. Maybe on the Hocus Pocus side, but I was also like, wow, this is an interesting story. I want to take a picture.
Right. All these people died there, but we're like, yay, let's take a picture. But for me, I meant joy in the fact that it was from Hocus Pocus and it's a beloved right. movie, at least for us. If you don't like the movie, you can go fuck off right now.
Who doesn't like Hocus Pocus?
I hear so many people say, I don't understand the hype on that movie. And I'm like,
really?
I'm like, then you had a miserable childhood because
I know, how sad.
Or even as an adult, I still watch that movie. It gives me all the happy Halloween feelings. Like,
yes.
Something's really wrong with you if you don't find joy in Hocus Pocus. Sorry. Yeah. So Dave Ashton, if you're listening, because I saw you bag
Dave.
On Hocus Pocus when part
how
two was coming
you.
Out.
You cannot be on our podcast anymore.
I still like you. You'll still be my friend.
Let's do a Hocus Pocus episode and surprise him and have him on. We'll talk about all the things he hates.
But I think there's a lot more people that love Hocus Pocus than not. I've heard people who say...
Well, Dave's also male. Maybe it's more of a female thing.
Maybe, possibly.
It's about witches, Salem.
Possibly, yeah.
But I think it's just a fun movie. Like even Halloween Town, how cheesy it mm-hmm. is. It's still fun. Or the spooky season.
Well, I also think we happen to love Halloween.
Right.
So I think...
A little bit too much. Maybe.
Well, no, because I mean, there's people who love Christmas the way we love Halloween, right? Like there's mm-hmm. people who mm-hmm. put their Christmas shit up the day after Halloween. Like I'm like September 1st.
1201.
Right? October, like September 1st, yeah. Halloween's going up.
Actually, let's keep this perpetuating. I think we're going to start spooky season middle of August.
That's right. We decided that.
Yes.
I have nothing against people who put their Christmas stuff up early. I get it. It's your thing because I love Halloween. Mine goes up early. I just feel like it should be after Thanksgiving or Christmas. That's just for me personally.
Right. Give the turkey a chance. If Nordstrom taught me anything.
That's what it was. That's what they taught me.
Given Thanksgiving a chance.
Yeah.
We're waiting till after Thanksgiving to decorate for the holidays.
Right. Right. But back to Hocus Pocus. I just think it depends on, like, there's probably certain Christmas movies that maybe I don't see the big deal on, but maybe, mm-hmm. which, actually, I take that back. I think almost any classic Christmas movie or cult favorite, I'm like, I love that movie.
Even the cheesy Hallmark ones are just fun. Like,
don't get me started.
Okay, we're going to have to do. We're going to have to work this into the creepy freaky factor that all Hallmark movies have the same narrative and storyline.
Yeah.
Using different people.
You make gingerbread cookies every day. You drink hot cocoa every day.
You
fall in love.
You
live in a cute little town. You usually fall in love with someone that you weren't expecting to.
There's
and
a perfect little diner. And
right.
like a candy store or some little
yeah and store. one of the main characters, whether it's the woman or the man, only has one parent alive in the
right.
show.
Yeah, and they could be like going through something and
oh so, all the time
yeah the person has to like find their purpose, find themselves.
Yeah. They're like, losing their winery. They're losing their Christmas house. Their corporate job is something. Yeah. Yeah.
The farm is in trouble. I lost my corporate job to come to this little small town.
Yeah. But I'll be damned if it doesn't make me feel cozy and put a little smile on my face and take all my anxiety away when I'm watching it.
God damn it. I'm on the couch with a blanket and I'm drinking my hot chocolate watching the fucking Hallmark.
Oh my God. I have to tell, I don't know if I ever told you this story, and you can leave it in, I don't care. But one night when Jake was still living at home, the last to leave the nest, we had just gotten back from a Slayer concert, Brian and I, not Jake. And I don't know what it was, but we had got back late, whatever. I'm in bed and I feel a panic attack coming on. And when I feel them coming on, it's very like, my body is so cold that I can't get warm and I start shaking and it's this whole, thing. Mm-hmm. And Brian was like dead to the world. And I knew Jake was still awake because he's a young kid. So I'm texting him from the bedroom and I'm like, can you bring me an extra blanket? And he comes in and he puts it on me and he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, something's wrong. And he knew because Jake has it too.
Right.
And so he takes me into the front and I'm walking down the hallway and I can barely walk. I'm shaking so bad because it's I'm hyperventilating. It's the whole panic attack thing. Right. And Jake's like, quick, put a Hallmark Christmas movie on her. It'll calm her down.
Who was he talking to?
Brian, because I kept telling him, I'm like, you need to tell Brian to call 911. And he's like, Mom, we don't need to call. And I'm like, go wake up Brian. So he did. And Brian comes out. And Brian's like half asleep, standing there staring at me. And Jake's like, quick, put on a Hallmark Christmas movie. So he does. And then Jake goes.
That used to be a shirt. Quick, put on a Hallmark Christmas movie.
He does. He goes and makes me tea and puts a blanket on me. And he stayed up with me the whole night until I fell asleep on the couch.
And did it help?
It did. I'm telling you.
They're medicinal.
It is. It's so medicinal. My insurance should cover my cable bill for that shit.
Right? Let's write a letter. I'm into it.
I mean, I'm sorry. I know we just got way off track from what we were talking about. But my point was, each person usually has a holiday that's a bigger like thing to them. And so I think
scary movies are the same way.
But I watch scary movies all year long. Right, it doesn't have to be Halloween for me.
But
certain ones like Hocus Pocus and Halloween Town, like those are like really meant for like the month of October.
Right. They elevate. The season, the mood, aesthetic.
And it's just not for everybody.
Maybe not. And sorry, you're not our people. We're all about freaky, creepy.
Yeah. We don't dislike
Hocus
you.
Pocus. No.
It's just, that's
I shouldn't
our
say
thing.
You're not our people. You can't sit with us.
Right. Right. On Wednesdays, we wear black.
Mm-hmm. New shirt.
I need that shirt. Yes. On Wednesdays, we wear black.
Absolutely.
Every day we wear black. So sorry, back to your story. I kind of took over on my high horse about Hocus Pocus.
No, I'm on that horse with you. And just I have one more line to round this out. The trustees of the Ropes Mansion opened the house to the public as a historic museum in 1912. And you can take tours inside and outside. In the gardens, as well as inside and see where Abigail led herself on fire. And that is Salem, Massachusetts, Ropes Mansion.
It really is a sight to see in person. I mean, it's gorgeous.
It is very cool. You wouldn't think it's a mansion like when you go to Ireland and you see castles. And it's a gorgeous house, but there's so much history in Salem.
Right.
And I just learned what a frickin' gable was. I didn't know. Like that House of the Seven Gables. I was I didn't know what that meant. And then somebody said, oh, yeah, the houses with all the gables. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should look that up. So I did. And it's the part on the outside of the house, like the facade that has the jutting out of the window and everything. So I didn't know that that was theirs.
The term for it.
Right. Yeah. But there's also tons of history there that you can learn that is not tied to witches. There's the whole waterfront we never got to explore.
There's a lot we didn't see.
Apple picking farms and all that fun stuff in the fall that would be great.
We kind of got our feet wet and now we know we know to go for longer. We know we like to going in the middle of the week.
And we know where not to stay.
Yes. But I think I would also enjoy going in the off season. I know a lot of stuff is closed and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just like the feeling of being there and just how beautiful it was and just exploring and just the feeling. I mean, it made me happy to be there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I would love to own like a fall home there.
Oh, God. That would be a dream.
I don't want to live there in the winter. I don't want to live there in the summer. I would live there in the fall.
It's like when Nick and I visited Bar Harbor in mm-hmm. October.
Maine.
Mm-hmm. Or was it November?
No, you were there in November.
It was in November. And things were closed. It was off season. But we still had a great time. There was plenty to see. And we were only there a couple of days. So it was just nice to get like that quick feel of the town. And everybody's super cool. Friendly, love the accents, mm-hmm. same thing. So I think we're just East Coasters at heart.
Yeah. And here's the thing for me, like when I do trips, I don't necessarily need to be doing something all every minute of the day.
Right.
But I'm a homebody as well. So mm-hmm. like I love to go on vacation and fucking chill. Order in the hotel and chill and watch movies. Like that's who I am.
Yeah. Though. Hey, I'm right there with you.
I feel like even if I went to a place where they shut down for the winter, dude, if you can give me some good food and a bottle of wine mm-hmm. and give me a cozy fire, I don't give a fuck if you're closed down. I don't need to shop. I don't need to do this and that. I just want to see it and feel it.
I agree.
Yeah, totally. So I think I would totally go back in November.
Absolutely. Well, let me know. Let me know when we're going.
I would definitely go back. And I advise anyone who's into fall and that feeling to give Salem.
We fulfilled our white girl fantasies.
And also, if you enjoy ice cream and you go there, you've got to go to Richardson's Dairy in Peabody.
Oh, yeah. Peabody.
Now, fun little fact. You will look it up and it looks like it's spelled Peabody, which it is.
Yes.
But thanks to my friend Darren, who is a native Bostonian.
Yes, thank God, because we would have sounded like idiots mm-hmm. saying Peabody.
He was very kind to let me know that it is not pronounced Peabody like we think it is. In Boston, it's actually pronounced, or in Massachusetts, it's pronounced Peabody. Mm-hmm. So in Peabody, one night we were having dinner. That's where we stayed. It was about a 15-minute drive into Salem.
Great place to stay, just not the right hotel.
Right.
Close enough, but not too far.
Yeah. Our first night there, we had the most delicious Italian food.
Yes.
Best waitress I've ever had. Great personality. She was great. So kind.
Very helpful with the menu.
So helpful. And we had this delicious Italian food.
What was that Italian restaurant called?
But anyhow, one night after a day in Salem and we had gone to dinner, we wanted ice cream. So we looked up a few places and we went to Richardson's Dairy. The best ice cream I think I've excellent ever had in my life.
And a bunch of high schoolers working there. I was like, but excellent.
They were fucking on top of their shit.
Absolutely.
They were kind. They were attentive. Mm-hmm. They worked their asses off.
They did.
And the ice cream was like nothing I've ever had. So good. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but my favorite is chocolate peanut butter. It's the best ice cream flavor ever. It blew Haagen-Dazs out of the water. I'm sorry, but
yes,
it did.
Yes, it did.
But just so good. And it was a really lovely experience.
It was excellent. It was very fun. Toscana's? Is it Toscana's?
Toscana's, yes. Toscana's Ristorante.
Yes.
It was delicious. If you're in the area, it's on Bourbon Street in Peabody. Great wine list. They had gluten-free options for me, which I loved.
They did, yeah.
Just wonderful. The whole,
and not just salad.
No, not just salad.
I love when they
bar.
Say they have gluten-free options like, for your celiac, and they're like,
fuck you and your salad. Do I look like a rabbit?
And a slice of carrot.
Yeah. Full bar, nice restaurant, kind of candlelit type feel to it. It was warm,
but not
cozy
too
moot. No, it wasn't. It wasn't like
bougie.
Right.
We didn't have to dress up like we were in our outfits from the plane.
We flew
and it was
on.
Fine.
Yeah.
Right.
But great restaurant. And again, I wish I would have remembered her name. Was it Andrea? No. What was her name? Mm. She was delightful. Crap. Best personality. Just really warm and caring. And just, I can't say enough good things about her or the restaurant.
Yeah, she was fun.
Well, thank you for recapping that, because I have to say, not only were we drinking on that tour, but I was distracted by a lot of things.
Yes, there was people there.
People there.
Very distracting.
who weren't supposed to be in our group that were distracting. Mm-hmm. And then there was the section in the alleyway with these really cool lights. And I kept thinking, like,
why would they do that when you're trying to tell us history stories?
It was like seeing a squirrel. It was like,
yeah,
oh my God, squirrel. So there was a lot that I just didn't focus. And I think, too, like, I was so excited being there that it was like.
Right. I was going to say, more on the positive side, we were trying to, like, take pictures.
Yeah.
And we were taking in all the cool houses because they're not like the cookie cutter houses that are in
gorgeous
our neighborhood here in Nevada. Like, yeah, just long-standing homes that. Very cool.
And you know what I loved about being there? The houses there. So many houses with like black paint or black trim. It warmed my heart because that's what I want. I want a black house so bad, and Brian won't let me. I got black trim on my house. That was about the extent he would let me have. But like the witch's house, it was like that dark slate gray with the black trim.
Yeah.
And then when we went into Boston, into the city, all those like buildings that were like dark and black, like gorgeous, gorgeous dark homes. And I loved it. And it just...
dark architecture built to last.
I just loved it. It was just so fun to me.
I agree. I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for recapping that because I missed a lot.
Hey, I missed a lot too. And I don't know if it was the juggernaut or, like you said, all the distractions. But I caught a little bit of it and it sounded interesting enough that we could do an episode on. So
yeah, I agree.
Talk about our time there. Obviously, we loved it, and talk about the Ropes Mansion in Salem.
Loved it. I wish we could stay there.
All right. Well, I think that covers everything that we didn't talk about for 2 months.
Hey, we do what we do.
That's life.
We do what we want to do.
Even though it's called Freaky Fridays, we never said it was every Friday.
Yeah, that is true.
We told you about Salem. We caught you up on our lives, and I think that's about it.
All right. We're going to wrap her up. I'm going to go get on my couch and continue drinking and watch Lindsay Lohan's Christmas movie or something. I haven't decided yet.
I like it.
Yeah. Sleep tight.
Make sure you leave the lights on. And see you in 3 months. I'm just kidding. Hey, send us your recording. Maybe people have like some interesting things to report on.
Or maybe there's a topic you want us to touch on.
That's what I meant.
But also, if you have any freaky stories, we would love to have you on.
Yeah. Like a mix of freaky stories from all of our listeners would be awesome.
Yeah. So don't disappoint us, all six of you.
Go to FreakyFridaysPodcast.com and subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast listening platform.
Join us next week for a new freaky tale.